Subdivision Committee of the Veterans Service Affairs Committee will come to order. We have a quorum, I believe. Someone would like to move the minutes from our last meeting of March 7th, 2011?
We'll move.
Representative Purcell moves the minutes. Any discussion? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion's passed. Members, we have a short time. We've got to be up and out of here by 1 o'clock, so we're going to have to move along quite quickly. Hopefully these bills aren't going to be too controversial. We're going to reverse order, and we're going to have Representative Dill come forward with his bill, House File 56, and he has a gentleman that's traveled for some distance and needs to get back to northwest Minnesota. So if Representative Dill, if I'll move House File 56 for Representative Dill regarding the waiver of state immunity under USERRA. And Representative Dill, if you'd go ahead and explain the bill and then have your testifier testify, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members. Before me, I'm actually not going to say anything about the bill. It is, I'll let Mr. Breaker. Mr. Breaker is a individual who I've known for a long, long time. He has run against me in District 6A a few times, and we are very good friends. And I have to tell you that when we had our campaign, the most recent campaign, it said things like, love in held in Grand Marais, Dill Breaker agree on most. And so that was the headline of the paper. And so Mr. Breaker served us and has served us for a long time in the National Guard. And he has a little bit of a story to tell of what happened to him when he returned from his service. And I think that when you hear it, your questions will begin to come out. And we also have people here from the Department of Veterans Affairs as well as the State Veterans Affairs, and they are in full support, as I understand, of this bill, and they can answer some technical issues. But Mr. Breaker is making it a passion of his to see that this has changed. It's not about him. It's about those who will follow him. So okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Breaker.
Thank you, Representative Dill. Mr. Breaker, if you would give your name and how you spell your last name. I'm sure it can be spelled in many different ways, but for the tape and for the secretary here, we appreciate it.
Yes, my name is Martin Breaker. That's spelled B-R-E-A-K-E-R, like jawbreaker.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Mr. Dill told me to make this short, and he said less is more, so just to give you a brief history of what happened, I was a professor for Bemidji State University, teaching on the northeastern part of the state under the mandate by this legislature for Bemidji State University to provide four-year degrees in the northeastern part of the state. My headquarters and my authorized place of work was in Ely, Minnesota, and I taught using interactive television, their business department program, their business degree program, to the seven community colleges located in northeastern Minnesota. When in 2005, after working them for over 8 years, I received orders to report to active duty for service in Iraq. I was in Iraq for 3 years, doing some very interesting things, including I was the guy that was in charge of Saddam Hussein's trial when we were doing the trial over there. The Bemidji State University, while I was in Iraq for those 3 years, transferred the program back to Bemidji State as an online program, and when I returned, would not give me my job back, would not give me a job working at Bemidji State University. There was a lot of issues involved because of that transfer, and they kept trying to solve all those issues before they would offer me a job back rather than actually go ahead and offer me the job. And I asked several times, and I agreed to come back and work if we could solve those issues after I returned to my employment there, and they refused to do that. That is basically my short story.
Thank you, Mr. Breaker. Any questions for the testifier, from the committee members? Or is there anybody from the audience that would like to? I have another testifier, Mr. McElhaney, if you'd identify yourself for the tape.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'm Mike McElhaney from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Legislative Liaison.
Please go ahead and testify.
We just wanted to display our support for this bill. We think it's a good bill that will assist veterans, future veterans, coming back, looking to regain their employment. They left for a period of time. They went and served duty overseas or in a combat zone. Now we find ourselves in three countries fighting wars, and it's just a shame to have these service members that volunteer come back to find themselves unemployed. There's a variety of sort of intricacies that goes into this, and as I look at possibly some of the younger members of the reserve and guard component that could also possibly be affected by this, there's when we think of, I mean, you could pick almost any issue. For instance, redundancy of physical responsibility, for example. If we have this bill in place, these protections in place, we can prevent the use of funds that we may have set aside in one service that the MDVA provides because people come back to jobs, service members come back to jobs, so we don't have to expend funds elsewhere helping them when they shouldn't need to be helped in the first place. So that's one of probably dozens of reasons we could talk about why this is a good bill, and we just want to provide our support for it.
Any testify or any questions for Mr. McElhaney? Representative Dill.
Well, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to say with regard to the bill that if you were in private employment, you wouldn't have this problem because you wouldn't be running up against state sovereign immunity. If you work for a local unit of government, you wouldn't have this problem because you wouldn't be running against the state's sovereign immunity. In fact, Mr. Breaker is quite modest. He did a lot more than just what he told you. He initiated a court action, and he learned that the state objected based on sovereign immunity. So knowing that he couldn't possibly win, he dropped the court action. So think about how you would feel if you worked at Best Buy or if you worked at the Lucky 7 gas station up in Orr, Minnesota. You can come back to your job. But if you went and did what Mr. Breaker did because of the state's sovereign immunity, he couldn't come back to his job. And I'd hate to think that, I mean, Mr. Breaker is obviously of sound mind and body, but there are those who are returning that aren't. And it's just a sad situation that this happens. And by changing this, we will eliminate for this group of people the state's sovereign immunity, and we'll give them a legal course of action to take should they be discriminated against, like every other person of the population that doesn't work for the state.
Thank you, Representative Dill. Any questions? Well, we have some other testifiers here that would like to speak on behalf of this bill. If you'd come to the microphone and give your name and go ahead and testify.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Clint Bucher. Last name is spelled B-U-C-H-E-R. I'm with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. My function there is the state veterans preference officer. So when persons have questions about what rights veterans have in public employment in Minnesota, often they call me and I try to provide that information. And I'm simply here to reiterate that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs supports this bill, and also to add that when we have veterans and we have public employment, we have a long-standing tradition of ensuring that veterans have veterans preference rights. Now, it's somewhat limited, but at the same time, we give veterans that consideration. This bill essentially would ensure that the same rights that veterans employ when they come back in private sector positions, the same rights would be granted to state-employed workers. And I think that's important. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bucher. Any questions for Mr. Bucher? We have another gentleman that's standing up that would like to come and testify on this bill. If he would come and state your name for the record and go ahead and testify, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Bob Tamman from Sudan, Minnesota, and I appreciate you taking my unscheduled testimony, but I was sitting there listening, I realized that I had a little experience with the issues they're talking about. In 1965, I served on the ground in Vietnam, and I think back to those days frequently because I served in the very earliest days of the war. I came home to a booming economy. And even thinking back to then in a booming economy, it's not easy for a young person to come home and slot back into the labor force. And I look now, our economy is not booming. We have a lot of people in service that are returning and need our support, and I would just ask the committee to give them your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tamman. Any questions for the testifier? Anybody from the audience that would like to testify or have concerns about the bill as it is in its present form? Or if not, thank you, testifiers. I will renew this motion that House File 56 be passed and referred to the the Committee on Judiciary. Any further questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion's passed. Thank you, Representative Dill. Next on the docket is Representative O'Driscoll. Representative Driscoll, would you move your bill for us, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House File 836 to be approved and referred to the General Register upon the conclusion of the vote today.
Go ahead and testify, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Tim O'Driscoll discussing today's bill, House File 836. House File 836 deals with providing Purple Heart recipients in the state of Minnesota or those veterans who have service-connected disabilities that are rated 100% or more by the state, by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs, to allow these individuals the opportunity to have preference in certain gaming lotteries here in the state of Minnesota, such as antlerless permit for deer and or turkey hunting. And as I've done some research on this, and I will turn it over to Mr. Pitaskura from the Department of Natural Resources, but with the help of Mr. Cleary from House Research and to work with Mr. Skura, I was getting ready for this morning's testimony, we find that there's a small number of veterans that would be affected by this. And I guess in a personal note, having had the opportunity to work with veterans in a number of different ways in a number of different areas, I think that this is a nice opportunity for them to ensure that they would be given preference in those lotteries that we would be looking at by giving them veterans points on that. If you are 100% disabled or more, your situation is garnering a lot of ongoing medical attention or ongoing care. I think that this is a nice way for us to be able to put those veterans, bringing them home and making them whole by giving them the opportunity to get some preference in some of these different types of lotteries. And so with that, Mr. Chair, if you're all right, I'd like to have Mr. Skura from the DNR speak as well for the matter.
Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. Mr. Square, if you address yourself, identify yourself for the tape, and please go ahead and testify. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, Pete Square, Division of Fish and Wildlife, Chief Administrative Section in Department of Natural Resources. We issue licenses to game and fish activity. We also provide lotteries for special hunts. These include bear lotteries, turkey lotteries, Camp Ripley hunt, which is a deer hunt, and other special hunts in areas which are usually closed to hunting. We have an application for military that's available for preference to these hunts, and these two criteria would be added to the application, and they would actually be participating in these special hunts due to this language change. DNR would implement this, very easy to implement, very little impact, as Representative O'Driscoll has mentioned, and basically no fiscal impact as either. No changes to the system. We have an electronic licensing system. This would require no changes to that system.
Any questions for Mr. Square or the author of the bill? Representative Falk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. I'm trying to pronounce your name correctly.
Square.
Did I hear you correctly? You said it would require no changes, no cost expenditures to the ELS system, because in my experience serving on Environment, Energy, Natural Resources, and Game and Fish committees in the past, it seems like any change, no matter how small or minute, always had some dollar associated with it for a change item. So I think this is good legislation, but I'm just a bit curious, too, about how the fact that this can have a zero cost and when seemingly minor changes before have always had some level of cost.
Mr. Square.
Mr. Chair, Representative Paul, you're right. It does, usually changes in regulation or licensing does have system changes to the electronic licensing system. This is actually a paper application which we ask military to fill out for additional preference that goes into our lottery system. So there would be no changes with our computer systems. It would just be a simple change to our paper application that the military are to fill out.
Representative Falk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, thank you for that clarification. I do appreciate it. Do we know a total number of potential applicants that could be applying? Because, just once again, if a person is processing these applications and they're having to take on more applications, assuming this person is very capable, but if there's to be more applications processed, one would assume that it would also have a higher degree of requirement or need more man hours for it or person hours for it. So just want to know how utilized that person is or that program is currently and what the additional level of staff time would be.
Mr. Squira?
Mr. Chair, Representative Falk, we have numbers on 100% disabled anglers, which we provide free angling licenses for. There's about 1,200 of those. How many of them would actually apply for the special lottery hunts, we don't know. And we don't have any information. Veterans Affairs might be able to provide how many Purple Heart recipients there are in the state of Minnesota. Those are the best numbers we can work on.
Representative Falk?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for that. I know the motion before us is to move this to the General Register, but I do think it would be prudent to maybe have a look at this in the Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Committee, because we do look at the game and fish issues there, too, and just to weigh in. So, Mr. Chairman, if you would consider that just as a friendly suggestion. I'm not sure what Representative O'Driscoll's feelings on that are as well, but I do think that we have to have a little bit more information here to figure out just how we conduct this process.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Mr. Chair, Representative Falk, I was asked by the chair of the Environment to refer it to the General Register because tomorrow in committee this is going to be taken up as an amendment as well for fish and gaming as part of this year's bill and will be discussed at that time as well.
Representative Falk?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Representative O'Driscoll, you're saying that this will be offered as an amendment to the Omnibus Game and Fish Bill?
That is my understanding from Chair Hackbarth and from Chair McNamara.
Representative Falk?
Thank you.
Any further questions from the members? Any questions on the bill from the audience? If not, Representative O'Driscoll, if you would like to renew your motion.
Mr. Chair, I renew my motion that House File 836 be passed and sent to the General Register at the request of Chairs Hackbarth and McNamara.
Okay. Representative O'Driscoll moves that House File 836 be passed and move to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same side. Motion's carried. Representative Creasel, if you would like to take over the chairman's position here.
Whenever you're ready, Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 1124 to be passed and to be referred to the Committee on Judiciary. And I have with members this morning individuals who would like to testify on behalf of the bill. And this bill is basically, it was brought to me by, and you'll see in your packet there, Senator Higgins had the bill over in Senate and was brought to me by her committee and herself to have it be brought to our committee to have it looked at. And basically it's talking about veterans who are basically young and not just veterans, but people who are kind of young and maybe do some stupid things in their young adult life and would like to make amends to what has happened to them. And what we're saying with this bill is that if they are able to, if they receive a commitment from a judge or receive a situation where they're in a court system, but they're also qualified to join the military, that if they complete their military service and go forward and get their honorable discharge from the military, that what the judge would bring forward, and maybe I'll get that more clarification from Mr. Baker and other testifier here about that, but basically to help exonerate their dumb and stupid moves that they made, and hopefully the judges, and you've heard of the court, the veterans courts that some judges are bringing forward here in the state of Minnesota to help veterans as they come back from service. And so before I get myself too far deep in the weeds here, I'll ask one of my both of my testifiers to testify on behalf of House File 1124, and we'll go from there.
Thank you, Representative. Mr. Chair.
Okay, if you could state your name for the committee.
Yes, Mr. Chair, my name is John Baker, last name spelled B-A-K-E-R.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, it's an honor for me to be here today. I'm a retired United States Marine. I retired as a gunnery sergeant. After 22 years in the United States Marine Corps, I now own a law firm, and I'm a full-service law firm for veterans. I mostly work with veterans and service members. I'm here on my own accord today. Over the last few years, I've brought forward several different pieces of legislation. This is the legislation I'm working on this year. I also chaired the initiative to start veteran courts here in Minnesota. Just some background about myself. We got our first veteran court up and running in Hennepin County last July, and we've been doing a lot of work to get that moving forward. Just as an aside, we've created in Minnesota one of the most innovative veteran courts in the nation. We've got folks from the Department of Economic and Employment Development and from the domestic violence community that are involved in that court that's not done anywhere else in the nation. So we've been innovative on veteran issues here in Minnesota. We were the second state in the nation to get a veteran sentencing mitigation statute. I'd like to see if we could do this bill as well to be innovative in the nation. You know, right now our returning combat veterans coming back from these wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the Department of Labor just in January, their latest unemployment statistics said that those veterans have a record unemployment rate of 15.2%. That's at the same time that the national unemployment rate is going down. That, in my opinion, and in the opinion of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, that's becoming a national crisis. As a matter of fact, unemployment amongst our returning veterans is their number one issue. They're in D.C. as we speak and addressing that issue. What I've been working at is, you know, we've got our next greatest generation of veterans coming back from these wars. In my opinion, they can become our next generation of business and community leaders. We as members of society right now, and I ask you as members of the legislature, to let's knock down these barriers for our veterans getting employed and becoming our next greatest generation of business and community leaders. This is just one of those things. Some of the other bills that were here today, the first one on USERRA is another one of those chip at the block to knock away those barriers. This is another one. So what this is, it's an addition to Minnesota Statute Chapter 364, and I apologize in my materials, I misnumbered that as 365. It's 364, and it's been the policy of the Minnesota legislature in the state of Minnesota since 1974 that we allow criminals to rehabilitate themselves. And specifically in Section 3 of this chapter, there is a for somebody that just any individual that has committed a crime to get a state license of any type or a state job, they can rehabilitate themselves and then they can show evidence of rehabilitation. What this bill adds is a honorable service of a returning veteran that is also a presumption. It's competent evidence of presumption of rehabilitation for that veteran to get a state license, except police officer and attorney and a couple other things, but real estate license, a chiropractor license, any number of other types of license that may
may be wrong. I talking about this bill this morning, I talking to Secretary of State Mark Ritchie, who's a very large supporter of veterans, as many of you know. He called this the knuckleheaded bill. This is for those young folks that get into trouble and they still can qualify in the military. Right now, you could join the military with a criminal record. You could conceivably serve 4 years in the military, see combat, get an honorable discharge, come back home, and you can still have difficulty because of that criminal record of getting a job, of renting an apartment, or getting a license. This is just one of those bills that's going to give evidence of rehabilitation. It doesn't mandate that state agency or that licensing authority to give that license. It just adds to the competent evidence of presumption of rehabilitation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Mr. Baker.
Hello, my name is Trista Mattis Castillo, and I am the chair of the Women Veterans Initiative Working Group. I'm a veteran of three different branches of the service, and I wanted to support this bill as well, and can just give a personal example. Well, this will work as a previous commander. I often signed waivers when people were being recruited into the military, waivers for maybe underage drinking that would prevent them from joining the service without a waiver. Waiver for maybe drug use, you know, in their teen years, they got a waiver, then they joined the service. Things that we common young people make mistakes. We're not talking felonies, we're not talking major crimes, we're not talking sex offenders, we're not talking people that have committed murder. We're talking about those crimes that young people tend to make silly mistakes. They serve in the service 4 years, 8 years, 18, 20 years, and later they retire or they are honorably discharged, and now they can't find employment. I can give you a personal example. My husband is an example of this particular situation. He's an 18-year veteran, honorable discharge, served in the Ranger Regiment. He came back from Iraq and was unemployed and was seeking work, and we were trying to figure out a way that we were going to get employment for him. We have a special needs child, and we have PCAs, and I said, well, why don't you apply to be his PCA and work right here at home with our own son? He was denied employment to take care of our own child because he had previously had a DUI when he was young. Now, it seems pretty silly, right? I mean, it's like common sense. He's his own parent, but he could not be paid staff member because he had a DUI. That's just one example. There are several examples that those situations happen and different levels of offenses that people have been serving honorably, they're trained, they're well-skilled, and those things of the passion haunt them. Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Mattis Castillo. Anybody from the audience that would like to testify for or against this bill? All right, seeing none, any questions from the committee members? Seeing none, would you like to renew your motion, Representative Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would. I'd like to renew my motion to move House File 1124 to be passed and to be moved to the Judiciary Committee.
All right, discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Motion prevails.
Thank you.
All right, Representative Anderson, whenever you're ready to move your second bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 1327 comes to you. It is to strengthen the current law providing, and I'd like to move House File 1327 I'll move House File 1327. I have two amendments that I would like to add to the amendments to the bill, and they're pretty simple. The first one, I'd like to amend House File 1327. The A1 amendment on page 3, line 18, before ranking, insert chairs and.
So you're moving the A1 amendment, Representative Anderson?
That's correct.
All right.
Basically, it's messed. I was notified that there was some language missing in the bill, and that's what the second amendment is also. So if we could move A1, I would appreciate that.
All right. Any discussion to the amendment? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Thank you. And the second amendment, A2, is on page 2, line 34, after who, insert exceed the goals for use of subcontractors and financial penalties for prime contractors who, and that was brought to my attention by the Department of Transportation, who I met with, and they said that they couldn't understand the way the language was at present, and that I'm talking with research, they said that they had left out some language, so I'm just moving that language to be put back into the bill as was intended to begin with. So it's really, it's a left out language that should have been there.
All right, to the A2 amendment, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Amendment prevails. All right, go ahead, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 1327, as amended, comes to you based on testimony from the MAG group that has been meeting here at the Capitol for quite some time. Representative Detmer, former Representative Dan Severson, and others have concerns about what is happening with veterans' preferences, especially veterans-owned contractors who own businesses throughout the state, and they would like to have the opportunity to have much more input and be considered for application for contracts here in the state that are leased by the state of Minnesota. And instead of my rambling here, I'd like to have both former representatives Dan Severson and others to testify on behalf of the bill, and then I'll follow up at the end. Thank you.
Welcome back, Representative. If you could state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Dan Severson, S-E-V-E-R-S-O-N. And I appreciate the opportunity to come before you today. This is some legislation that we passed last year, I believe, and in the year previously, dealing with veteran-owned businesses. There's a theme going on today, if you listen a little bit, and it's about our warriors who are coming home. We've made a transition in the military, basically, from a full-time military taking the brunt of the force to moving some of that over to the reserve side. Well, when we do that, reserve side also have regular civilian jobs that they need to fulfill the requirements for. And so some of this process is some of the things that we're working through that's with this bill today. But you see, we compel civilian businesses under USERRA to comply with the reemployment rights, and yet under the state contracts, we've been very lax. In fact, there are no teeth in it, and that's why some of the provisions that we've passed in the last couple of years have been brought forward to try and eat away at that 15% unemployment rate that our warriors are experiencing when they come back. We have a duty. We have an obligation to those individuals to ensure that when they come back, we support them in the best way we can. And in the legislature, we typically say that's in the form of getting them a job. So this provision, and you'll hear a couple of veteran-owned business representatives speak to this issue, is about the contracts and the contracting provision under the sourcing program, specifically mentioned here in MnDOT, but across the board. We want to expand this to counties and to cities being able to participate in this program for a 6% bid preference. And that's for businesses, small businesses that are veteran-owned, and typically under the guise or the auspices of the statute, it delineates what a small business is. That's who we're targeting. Currently, 25% of small business contracts are set aside by the state for designated small business under the targeted business group and the disadvantaged business enterprises. This is part of that process, although the legislature in its wisdom also put out a criteria on this, saying because of the exceptional service that these individuals have served their country in this capacity, they deserve special consideration. There is no requirement, and I want to emphasize, there is no requirement for a disparity study under these provisions, nor should there be, because you have people from every community that are participating in veteran-owned businesses, from ethnic groups and from every other group. I'll leave it at that, Mr. Chair and members, but to say that this is a provision that we had hoped would be a little more aggressive in the past. We're seeing a need for that aggression now, and it's probably a bad word, a little more teeth to it, to give what is needed for our veteran-owned businesses to be able to participate in this venue. And so with that, I will stand for questions at the end, if that's all right.
Thank you, sir. All right, whoever's next, if you could state your name for the committee.
Sure. Chair, my name is Alan Duff, D-U-F-F, and I'm the president of Duff Consulting, LLC, a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business. I'm a retired major of the Army, 23 years. I also serve as county commissioner in Isani County, and we'll be referring to that here in a moment. I'm also the representative for the vets businesses for MnDOT. I'm working on a variety of these bills, and as Mr. Severson has said, I think it would help us a lot if there were some more teeth to this bill, and we fully support this bill as presented. A couple of quick comments I want to make is that we are falling horribly short in meeting any goals with MnDOT, and this bill will help us get more teeth to moving forward with that. I also want to say specifically that in my definition as a professional planner, construction should include much more than heavy-duty equipment. Construction has been defined with MnDOT as we're trying to figure out the goals going forward. If you look at the Association of General Contractors or other agencies, construction is about 14 phases, ranging from the right-of-way acquisition, environmental permits, planning, post-construction, et cetera. There's about 14 stages to construction. And last comment I want to make is, as a county commissioner representing Isani County, one of two beyond the yellow ribbon counties in the state of Minnesota, I would emphatically support this bill at the local level of government for any road construction projects going on in our county as well.
All right. Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else that would like to testify for or against this bill? Oh, sorry, Mr. Kaiser. Go ahead. You can state your name for the committee.
Chairman. And members, my name is Jerry Kaiser, K-Y-S-E-R. It is spelled wrong in the information there. I am the vice chairman of the United Veterans Legislative Council. I'm a disabled veteran-owned business, Vietnam combat veteran. And we, as an organization representing over 34 veterans groups in the state of Minnesota, we support this additional verification of our state in Minnesota. We believe that in order for us to get these positions, and we're not asking for the particular contract, they're just asking to be able to bid on it with a proper verification of who we are. Veteran-owned businesses are vetted by the VA itself. There's almost 500 companies in the state of Minnesota are veteran-owned businesses, of which about 10% are service-disabled veteran-owned businesses like mine, and not all of those that want to be involved with the state government. I'm in a non-profit company. We don't solicit or want to be involved with any state contracts, but this enables many of these other small businesses to be able to bid on these projects and get involved with the MnDOT and other agencies. Currently, there's two portions of it. There's the DBE, Disadvantaged Business Enterprises, and the new bill that the bill that's been passed in the past, the Veterans Bill. They're two separate entities, and together we feel that we know that they will be able to, those two combinations will be able to actually lift Minnesota's percentage much better than what they are currently. And this is needed. It's not that the commissioner himself is against it, or the Department of MnDOT is not trying to help out. They've hired a veterans preference person. But this gives us a little more advantage to, and more clarification of what kind of businesses we can then bid on and try to get more veterans involved with business and those new business enterprises coming on board. Thank you for your time, and any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Kaiser. Any questions from the committee? Representative Kahn.
Yes, I have some questions about how this works with or conflicts with the other set-asides that we have. I don't know if there's anyone here who can answer that.
Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Conlon, I don't believe there are conflicts inherent in this. When the legislation was put through, it was a separate group that was considered. The veterans, veteran-owned businesses were a separate group from the DBE under separate statute. although under the TBE targeted business groups, they were under the same provision there, but they were on separate. So there are no targets. However, there's it gets very convoluted. But what we don't want the perception is that these are in competition with one another, and they're not.
Representative Kahn.
Well, so another question then on line 212 and 213 says the commissioner must award up to a 6% preference in the amount bid, but that can be any number up to 6%, from 0.6 to.
That's correct.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Anybody from the crowd that would like to testify for or against this bill? Welcome, gentlemen. If you could state your name and title for the committee, and then go ahead.
Jim County, spelled C-O-W-N-I-E. I'm the Director of Contract Management at MnDOT.
Okay. If you want to go ahead.
We have some concerns about this bill in areas where the bill could probably be improved a little bit. Our main concern is it changes the commissioner may to the commissioner must, making this mandatory to apply to all of our projects, apparently including federal aid projects. And if I could step back a little ways, there's two types of contracts at MnDOT. One is a state-only, state-dollar-only contract, and the other is a federal aid contract. And when the federal government contributes $1 towards a contract, that makes it a federal aid contract. We've been applying this veterans preference on state-only funded jobs, and I think it's been going well in there. When the law first came in, however, we sought some counsel from the Federal Highway Administration as to whether the feds would participate in these types of contracts. And the Federal Highway Administration informed us that they would not financially participate in contracts where MnDOT used a veterans preference of the nature that's been passed by the legislature previously. So the department's concern on the current legislation is that this would force us to apply this preference on federal aid contracts, which would put our federal dollars for those contracts at risk, and would probably the federal government would probably pull the dollars for those contracts.
Okay.
And we have a couple other concerns as well. One is that we're the at line 2.18, the bill has some language concerning construction-related goods and services. And we're a little unclear on what that language is intended to mean. Generally, when we award construction contracts, the contractor brings all the materials, supplies, equipment, etc. There really isn't much that MnDOT supplies. The contractor is responsible for supplying all those goods and equipment. So we're kind of a little unclear on what the intent on that language is. And another concern is that this establishes a, or it gives us the authority to set subcontracting goals on professional and technical services contracts, which we're certainly happy to do and we're able to do to help our veterans. The problem is that it takes this section in Chapter 161 and it kind of modifies the definition of construction contracts to include these professional and technical services. Well, MnDOT doesn't really award professional and technical services contracts under Chapter 161. Those are all under the Department of Admin umbrella under Chapter 16C. So we think a better place to make the changes to the professional technical services contracts would be in Chapter 16C so that there's some consistency with the rest of the provisions in Chapter 16C and so that it doesn't kind of muddy up the waters for what's considered a construction contract or, in essence, a low bid contract under Chapter 16C.
All right, thank you. Representative Anderson, did you want to add to that?
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, yeah, I'm going to elevate you higher than I always do this to all the chairs, but Chairman Creasel, the issue of all goods and services, I think the intention of the bill was to make it as broad-based as possible so that when we're talking about state-lent contracts that it includes goods and services. The situation with the professional and technical area, I believe we could probably, between now and going to the Transportation Policy Committee, bring in an amendment to address that issue, and we can work on this bill to make it better and reference that particular area in statute. But as far as that, the issue with goods and services, it was to make it as broad-based as possible so that we could include, but we sure can work on that to make it work for the next committee.
Okay. Representative Kahn?
What about adding the language, listening to the testimony from the Department of Transportation, that except when prohibited by federal contracting regulations?
Mr. Chair,
I don't think that's something we have any say over.
No, Representative Kahn, you're right. I was just informed of that today. Prior to the meeting, these gentlemen came into my office and told me about this particular part of law, and I said that we would be working on the language to try and get that exemption into statute, but I didn't have it ready to go. It was basically 5 minutes before the committee started.
You don't want to do it here. I mean, I think it's just that phrase, and I'm sure Mr. Cleary could figure out how to do it.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Cleary, give me your interpretation of what we're talking about here.
Go ahead, Mr. Yes. Cleary.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Anderson, Representative Kahn, I think it could be done. I think we could do it right here if you have a specific place. Okay. Adding the language, something like comma, except when prohibited by federal laws or federal regulations.
Representative Kahn?
Mr. Chairman, on 2.14, does that work?
Yes, before the period, the amendment, Mr. Chairman, would read, before the period on line 2.14, insert comma, except when prohibited by federal laws or federal regulations.
Thank you, Mr. Cleary. Representative Kahn, are you making a motion for that to be the oral amendment?
Yeah, or Mr. Anderson can make it, whatever.
Representative Anderson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Kahn. I'd like to hear some comments or concerns from the group that brought this forward as we add this amendment. I understand that we're probably kind of in a pickle here, and maybe we have to work on federal congressmen and senators to do that. I'm open to doing that. I'd like to have some comments on that, okay, along with it as we go forward.
Representative Kahn?
I'd just like to point out, if federal law were to change or if we to get a waiver from it, then it wouldn't be prohibited, so it would be not considered.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn, you're correct. If anybody from the audience testify regarding this amendment that we're putting on, concerns about it?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, there's some existing language in Chapter 16C.16, Subdivision A, which the committee may be interested in referring to, and that language clause uses the term except when mandated by the federal government as a condition of receiving federal funds. So that's kind of the mandate that we've been operating under already, and I think that language has allowed us to do what we need to do to make sure we qualify for our federal funding. And that's in Chapter 16C, dealing with goods and services other than construction. So if we were to replicate that law into this bill dealing with construction, I think that would work.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Cleary, if you could give us a...
Yes, Chair, okay. I didn't hear all of that, of course, but I believe that would work.
16C?
I think that language would work equally well, probably better, okay, because it would be mapping that identical.
Okay.
And this statute refers to 16C, by the way, and 16C refers to this MnDOT statute. So.
Okay.
Representative Anderson?
Mr. Chair, I don't have the language in front of me unless Mr. I'd just like to read the language as it stated as he mentioned it here and see if that would work, if Representative Kahn is okay with that.
Okay. Mr. Cleary, did you have the language again?
Sir, could you please refer me to a specific site?
Representative Creasel, Mr. Cleary, 16C, Subdivision 6A.
16C.16.16.
Chairman.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Cleary?
Members, the language would be on page 2, line 14, before the period, to insert the following words, except when mandated by federal government as a condition of receiving federal funds, period.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that that language that Representative Mr. Chair Cleary just read into the microphone.
All right, to the Anderson Amendment, any discussion?
You know, sorry to be, I don't think that sentence makes sense because the subject of it is
Representative Cotton,
the
go ahead.
Commission must award. So I said, so would you read the whole except?
Mr. Cleary, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Khan, the whole sentence would read, the commissioner must award up to a 6% preference in the amount bid for specified construction work to veteran-owned small businesses, comma, except when mandated by the federal government as a condition of receiving federal fund.
Well,
mandated is a bit funny, except when precluded
when
or prohibited.
Precluded, I think, is better than mandated.
Okay.
Like it's the opposite
except
word.
When prohibited by federal government.
Prohibited, sure.
Except when prohibited by.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I think it would mean the same thing.
Mr. Chairman, if I could say the mandate.
Go ahead, Mr.
Prohibition refers to the mandate, but it doesn't make sense. You need to change the word.
No,
Mr. Cleary.
I think that works, but I think it's a good idea to ask the veterans.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
The language that we were just discussing with Mr. Cleary, Representative Khan, to put in the word prohibited, maybe be the amendment to the amendment.
Okay. All right. To that amendment, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Amendment prevails. Now that we got all that out of the way. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, I hope that as we go forward with this bill as amended, that they come up with any other clarifications needed, that this will help in bringing back those veterans who have left their businesses, can come back and have a better opportunity to engage in a bidding for state-run contracts and only state-run contracts. We'll have to go after our U.S. congressmen and U.S. Senators to see if we can straighten that thing out as far as that. But other than that, I'd further go ahead with moving House File 1327 as amended to be passed and referred to the Transportation Committee.
All right. To the motion, any discussion? Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you.
We have some other veterans' bills that were pulled from the itinerary early this past week, so they might be coming up next Monday. So our plan is to have another hearing 1 week from today. The plan is stay tuned to your email. Any other concerns or questions for the good of the cause at this time? If not, Veterans Subdivision Affairs is adjourned.